Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Boss.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
No, the pause is over. It's time for us to get back to work because the great Aqib Talib is about to join us here on Willard and Dibs 95.7 The Game. If you've been listening to the show for a little bit today, you know the conversation he had with Kay Adams that caught our attention. But if not, we'll play it for you right now. This is Aqib Talib and Kay Adams talking about Brandon Ayuk and his status in the league.
Ayuk is emerging. I think he's probably my top three receivers right now. If you get him with a real quarterback, he can go crazy. His
Brandon Ayuk is your top as a top three receiver?
Man, he's just his. I don't really go off the stats. I go off the player. And his body control, his routes, his hands, his speed, he can easily be a top receiver in the league. If you put him on a team and you make him the focal guy, oh, he'll go crazy.
Okay, all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? And that's exactly where Aqib Talib is right now, joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Aqib, how you doing?
I'm pretty good, man. How you doing?
Yeah, we're doing great, man. And we're big fans of Brandon Ayuk for sure. So certainly appreciate, like, we appreciate the kind of finer points that you are making about what he does on a field. But I want to start with this, because it sounded like you started by saying he's a top three receiver and then sort of switched to saying you project him as someone who could be. Can you expand on that? What do you actually think right now?
Well, I think, I said, I don't go off stats. So if you go off the stats, you got to pick the top three guys who got the best numbers and say those are the top three guys. But me being a cornerback and I guarded a ton of good receivers, I just go off how much problem would this guy present for a defense. And I think Ayuk is up there, man. He's going to present a lot of problems. For anybody who lines up the guarding, he's going to present a lot of problems for him. So if I was creating a team, it'd probably be Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, and if Ayuk ended up my third guy, or if he was my third guy on the board and Ayuk was there, I'll be just fine with that. So that's kind of what I meant by it.
And I like that, and I want you to be a little bit more specific football-wise as to what he does that is such a difference maker, not only for the Niners, but as a receiver that gives teams problems.
Man, well, when you play receiver, I feel like it's all about finishing plays, you know, deep balls, 50-50 balls, balls over the middle where it's going to kind of be contested. I feel like he's wonderful at that. And it's also about creating separation. And I feel like he's wonderful at that. So you a dog, he's physical, he's tough. Man, that's what I'm looking for in a receiver. I want him to be physical, tough. I want him to finish plays and create separation. He does all that. He does all those things. So, I mean, that'd be one of the kind of guys I'm looking for if I was drafting wide receivers.
Yeah, I think we get where you're coming from. I do wonder, though, like, let's throw out some other names. Like CeeDee Lamb, Devontae Adams. Is Brandon even potentially better than those guys? A.J. Brown.
Man, he is neck and neck with those guys. So if you tied, in my opinion, you tied your. If I'm top, I'm tied for third in interception touchdowns in ever, right? But I'm tied for third. Some people say I'm fourth. I'm tied for third, so I'm third. So if you tied, you even. So with that third, if I was naming my top receivers, I go Jamar, I go Jettis, and then at third I put CeeDee, Tyreek, Ayuk, probably my third, and then I come Devontae, and I mean I take Ayuk over Devontae.
I like it, and
His young energy is you know, Devontae not old yet, but he's getting in his days. You know, he's older. You know what I'm saying? So I'm always take a younger guy over an older guy.
And I think Brandon would like you to be his agent because he's looking for that new contract, and you got him tied for third. So if you're Brandon and you're thinking like the way you're thinking, is it understandable why he's maybe trying to hold in and wait for a better deal?
Hey, that's his decision. That's him and his agent, man. Hey, I don't really know that part, you know what I'm saying? Why he's waiting, and I don't really know the situation at all. I don't know what the offer is that's on the table. I don't know. So all I know is if I ended up with Ayuk as the number one receiver on my team, I would be just fine with that.
Akeem Talib is joining us here on Willard and Dibs. And Akeem, the other thing, and I don't know if you meant to sort of take the conversation here or not, which is why we wanted to ask. You're talking about Brandon, but part of the quote was, you put him with a real QB, and he would do great things. And so obviously that got our ears going. What are you saying about Brock Purdy there?
I mean, with San Fran in general, I meant like real QB, like a pass first type of offense. You know what I'm saying? Like a Peyton Manning Denver Broncos style of offense where he's going to get, Demaryius Thomas is going to get 150 balls thrown to him, 160 balls thrown to him. The Bills have a pass first offense. Diggs is the focal point of that offense. He's going to get 160 balls thrown to him. The Cowboys have a pass first offense. CeeDee Lamb is going to get 160 balls thrown to him. The Niners have a run-first offense, and they got a bunch of guys, and they're going to spread the ball around. So the most targets you're going to get out there is about 90 to 100. So he's getting 60 to 70 less targets than a legit number one receiver. So that's what I mean. I ain't want to take nothing away from Purdy. Purdy's a hell of a player, and he's in a great system, and he's doing his part. All you can do is play the hand that you're dealt, and Purdy is doing an amazing job running that offense. But I think it's a lot of guys who you could put in that quarterback, and they'll be able to run that offense.
And that offense was ranked number 32 out of 32 last year in pass attempts. So as a former cornerback, when you're going up against an offense like that where it might be Brandon, it might be Debo, it could be McCaffrey, it could be Kittle, does that give you as a defender a lot more problem as far as, you know, trying to figure out how to stop an offense that has so many weapons?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's where a lot of their success comes from, because you have to get ready for outside zone. That's hard enough to stop outside zone. So all the way to Thursday, you're going to be worried about outside zone. Then Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you're going to get ready for the weapons they have. And they got so many weapons, man. I think that's why they've been topping the NFC for the last 4 or 5 years. So it's definitely hard. It's definitely hard to get ready for an offense like that.
Akeem, just kind of circling back to your comments about like the target share, I wonder what your perspective would be on what a receiver might rather do, because we were chopping that up a little bit. If you're Brandon Ayuk, would you rather be on a team that gives you 50 more targets? However, it's not a great offense. They may not be a winning team. Or would you rather just kind of take what you're getting and stay with the 49ers?
Man, you know how wideouts are. They wideouts, man. They want the 50 more targets. And they want the numbers, man. They wideouts. That's why they wideouts. That's what they bring to the table. A slightly selfish player who's going to be productive for the team. If he's not productive, you don't care what the score is. He's mad a little bit. And that's what you want. I want my receiver to want to help the team win. And that's what the good wide receivers do.
Okay, I feel that. But have you watched the receivers doc on Netflix at all, Akeem?
Hey, I started it. Me and my son watching it, but he don't watch TV as much as me, so I kind of got to watch it slowly with him.
I hear you. But the reason I ask is, like, I keep thinking of Davante Adams in this situation where someone who played on a great offense with a great quarterback, but then his eyes went elsewhere, and sure, college teammates with Derek Carr, but he's getting plenty of targets, second in the league. But it looked in the doc like he hates a lot of those targets because he's getting hurt and the team can't score points. You know what I mean?
Hey. I know what they make it. The editing and the production is great, but I promise you, if we could freeway Davante right now, he would tell you, oh, he loved the 155 or 160 targets he got last year. He'd love them. He wouldn't have it no other way, man. That's the nature of wideouts, man. They want the ball and they want to help the team win. And if they're not, then you see the results of it is. Like to show receivers what, you know what I'm saying? What they showed from Davante Adams, that'd be the result. If it's not positive, you take a couple of those throws and let Garoppolo put them on the money, man, it'd be a totally different show. So that's just the nature of receivers, man. They're going to get mad when it's bad, and they're going to be very glad when it's good.
Is that kind of the nature of corners, too? Because the ultimate sign of respect is when they don't throw your way because they know that you're dangerous and you could pick it off. But at the same time, you got to kind of want the ball to come to your side. That way you can make a play.
Of course. You always want the ball to come to your side. But like you said, if they're not throwing it to my side, I'm totally fine with that, too, because I get patted on the back for having the least amount of targets thrown at me. That's just a sign of respect. So, at corner, man, it's either way. If you throw the ball at me, I'm going to make you pay. And if you don't throw the ball at me, I'm still going to get applauded for that. So, corner is a little bit different. Corner is a little bit different, man. It's a little bit different than receiver.
And the ultimate sign of respect is to make it into Canton in the Hall of Fame. And I know you're a first-time eligible this year. Is that something you've thought about seeing that bust and getting that gold jacket in Canton maybe?
Man, of course. You always think about it, man. You play your career, and once you start making Pro Bowls and All Pros and being top in the category or top in some type of stat, of course you're going to think about it, man. But, you know, it is what it is. You have no control over it, you know. So, hey, all you can do is go on shows and radio shows and lobby for yourself. So, hey, that's all you can do.
Well, there it is.
There it is.
Done.
Lobby away. Yeah.
Akeem, thank you so much for hopping on, man. We appreciate you.
Thank you, guys. Y'all take care.
All right, you too. Akeem Talib, a great corner in the league. And
possible Hall of Fame corner. And I'm just looking at the list of first-time eligibles. Yeah. And Eli Manning's a first-time eligible. And I think he'll make it. I don't know if he's first ballot. Luke Kuechly is eligible for the first time. Adam Vinatieri. Terrell Suggs, Marshawn Lynch is on the list. Earl Thomas, Joe Staley, former Niner, Demaryius Thomas, he mentioned him, Akeem Talib, Vernon Davis, Darren Sproles, among those first-time eligibles.
Interesting. Yeah, there's some names on there that'll give it a look, and he might be one of them.
Yeah. I don't know if he's a first-ballot guy.
Probably not.
And although, I know that we now look at that differently.
Yeah, like, what does that mean?
And it's always so stupid, like, you're not a first-ballot Hall of Famer, but you're a Hall of Famer. Eventually, we're going to need you to wait. And it's different in the NFL because you can only have up to six of these active players. So sometimes you do have to wait. But I think Akeem Talib is a guy who will get in eventually.
So that, to me, makes his opinion something that I'm going to really listen to. And that was wild, listening to him go through receivers in terms of, again, forget the numbers. He's looking at this in terms of who do I not want to guard, who does more things out there. Not only the top two, but did, like, all of this was fascinating to me. He clearly kept stating that Ja'Marr Chase was first in his mind.
Right.
Justin Jefferson was second. So Ja'Marr first, Justin second. I know this challenges everybody's fantasy football brains and everything. Like, ears are flying off of heads right now. No! Well, again, that's not... He's talking about what they're doing on a football field. And he's got Ja'Marr Chase at the top and Justin Jefferson. And then he started to create like a three-way tie.
Which is great.
A little bit of a cop-out. However, he put names on it. CD, Tyreek, and Brandon. And then clearly stated that Devontae Adams and A.J. Brown are they're behind Brandon Ayuk.
And no mention of Amon-Ra St. Brown.
No mention of Amon-Ra St. Brown.
And other receivers who were maybe of the same ilk. But just interesting the way he said it. And one thing that I kind of glommed onto was his use of the phrase, finish the play. And that's something that the Niners are so known for across the board. Debo will finish the play. George Kittle wants to find you. He'll finish the play. And Brandon Ayuk, he'll finish the play. And that's something where a lot of times in our fantasy football mindset, or, you know, you're watching the game through somewhat of a novice eye because none of us played it at that level or any level for that matter. But the idea of finishing the play, not only when you get the ball, just when you're blocking, when you're a part of the play, that's part of the Niner ideology that we sometimes take for granted.
I don't know that the 49ers are taking Brandon Ayuk for granted right now. I know it feels that way. Yeah, I'm sure he feels that. But to me, that's sort of like the bigger place to take this conversation. You know what I mean? I know that Brandon used that phrase on social media. They told me they don't want me. And I'm sure that what he means by that is not a direct quote. That's how he's translating what they're saying. They told me they don't want me because I know what I'm worth and I know five other teams will pay this and they don't want to pay it. So they're telling me they don't want me. I don't believe that for a second. I think they think he's fantastic. I think they think he's fantastic. If you believe the report, that he was at one point offered $26 million a year, do you realize what an unbelievable compliment that is from the 49ers? Because the more I look into this, any Brandon Ayuk extension puts them in a really difficult spot next year. Any Brandon Ayuk extension. They may want to, but I would argue the reasons that would make you want to keep Brandon Ayuk would be that Debo struggles with injury this year, and or Ricky Pearsall ain't it. If those two things happen, then Brandon's value goes up even further. And in fact, I would say it would be imperative that you keep him. But don't the 49ers want to know that first? If Debo continues to be heart and soul of the team, stays healthy, has a 1,000-yard season himself. If Ricky Pearsall looks like everything that people seem to think he's going to be, well, then they're right. Then they're right to not pay Brandon Ayuk $30 million a year. Very circumstantial, not disrespectful.
Right, and that would be another year of information to where they could figure that out. If Pearsall is up to being a first-round draft pick, if he shows signs of being, you know, a guy who can be wide receiver one or wide receiver two, then yeah, you are probably better off for not making that decision. Or you can get to the end of the year and realize, man, we need Brandon now more than we thought that we would have needed him back in July. And so now you got to pay him more than you otherwise would have thought you had to do. And that's a risk that the Niners are taking by not having signed him back in February when these talks began.
There's some more things that were said out at day one of camp today that we haven't gotten to yet that we wanted to play for you. First of all, the Brandon Ayuk situation, along with the Trent Williams situation, those were both topic one and topic two with Kyle Shanahan when he walked into the room today. This is the first thing he said about Trent Williams.
So you guys noticed Trent wasn't out there today, so just before you have to ask, guys, in report, it's contract related. John's speaking with his representatives, been doing it for a while. He'll continue to go, and when they work it out, I'll be pumped to see him.
Okay, and is Kyle worried about that?
It was something I knew could be a possibility. I mean, I was hoping that he would be here, but I knew it could be a possibility, and I feel pretty confident that it'll all work out in the long run, and he'll be here, and we'll get on the same page with everything. But, you know, it's just one day of practice, and I think Trent will be all right missing a few practices.
Trent will be all right missing a few practices. Okay, what about Aiyuk, who was there today but not in uniform and did not practice? So this is the new term. This is a hold-in rather than a hold-out. Kyle was asked if there's any difference between those two things from his standpoint.
I don't see much difference between a hold-in and a hold-out. You know, it's probably better for them to hold in because so they don't get fined since you can't rescind them like you could back in the day. But I don't see much different.
Is it better for you or same difference?
Same difference. I think it's better for them, I think, too, that at least they can be around, hear meetings, stuff like that. So they're just, hopefully when things do work out, they're still used to some things. They haven't been that far behind.
And this is Shanahan on if there's any Aiyuk update after this day.
I mean, it's been one day with him, and I think he's coming in with the plan that that's been obvious so far. He's holding in, and we'll see how it goes each day.
All right, so that's where we're at with Trent Williams and Brandon Aiyuk.
In the Shanahan interview with TK on the TK pod, Tim Kawakami, he was very clear with the fines that are in place, because Tim actually asked him about, you know, what do you do in that first day you get in here, which was Tuesday before practice started? Do you give him a big speech? And you know, Coach Shanahan said, not, by the time you give a big speech, they got on the field, and it just is like they've already forgotten it. But what I do is go over the rules.
Yep.
And the rules are basically the fines. Don't come in overweight, and don't miss practices, and don't be late, and all these other things. And, you know, you can say you're sorry, and you can come to me and apologize, and I'll feel bad for you, but I'm not going to forgive it. That's the one thing that I really am going to be firm about, and that's the one thing that I just can't forgive. And so hearing him talk about that, and the idea of holding in versus holding out, yeah, it's better to hold in because you won't be fined. And if you get fined for being late or being too heavy, that's it. You're going to have to pay that fine.
That was interesting to hear him say it, and it's also interesting that you loved it so much. You love rules. I know you love rules.
I do. Well, I like rules that are fair. Like things that are rules that are set out that are, they make sense. And they're fair, and I like rules that apply to everyone. I don't like rules that apply to some, but not everyone. Yeah, that's something that's definitely a pet peeve of mine.
I like that. And what Kyle also said, though, and I think this is good, because sometimes you can be like, the rules aren't fair, but you're like, but hold on a second. We're very clear about what they are. You know what I mean? Like, if you're a parent, these are the rules. But you know, Dad, no, these are the rules. You don't have to agree with them. This is what they are, and you have to follow them. And Kyle said there's a book of like 150 rules. But what he does is he tells the guys the five that matter to him.
Exactly.
Like, there's very few that actually matter to me. These are what they are, and if you break those, there's nothing I can do about it. Like, I'm not forgiving coming in here overweight. You cannot be late. You could tell me all the excuses in the world, right? But yeah, so I dug that. I thought that that's part of the persona of Kyle Shanahan that I do think gets lost on fans. And you hear this when you go down there and you check in with people. They really hammer it home in terms of the way that Kyle will have an ability to look at guys and be like, this is the answer. It may not be what you want to hear, but I'm going to be honest with you right now. And I think they're being honest with Brandon Aiyuk. And he's not hearing what he wants to hear. But they're being honest with him.
Yeah, they were honest with Brock Purdy when a week after he got hurt, Kyle called him and said, yeah, we're going to try to get Tom Brady in here. You don't have to compete with Trey Lance, but yeah, we are going after Tom Brady one last time. So you're the starting quarterback unless we can get Tom Brady to come in here. And at that point, you're going to be QB2. P.S., good luck with your surgery. We'll see you in May.
Pretty good politician answer, actually.
Well, and he's because honest,
he kept,
right? Yeah,
he's honest, but what he kept saying is, he's like, I know that would be like, for most people, they're like, wow, that must have been hard. Brock Purdy goes out there. He has an unbelievable year. He never loses a game until his arm flies off. And then while he's about to go, he hasn't even been to the hospital yet. They haven't even done the operation yet. And here's Kyle going, so we're going to call Tom Brady. And most people would be like, oh, my God, right?
Devastating.
The disrespect. And Kyle was like, I really thought it was a compliment.
Exactly.
But I got what he was saying. He was looking at him being like, dude, your arm's dangling off your body, and we loved what you did so much that the only way you're not going to get the job in September is if Tom Brady will take it. And he's the GOAT. So then that's it. The GOAT or you. That's kind of a compliment.
It is.
Isn't it?
Especially when it's Tom Brady for a year. He wasn't talking about true. Tom Brady for yes. 3 or 4.
It was like, either way, it's yours in the future.
Exactly. So it was a compliment, but I'm sure that still is a tough pill to swallow when, you know, Brock Purdy's in a sling, wondering if he's even going to be able to throw a football in 5 months.
Speaking of Brock, he had this comment today that we thought was really interesting, and this is kind of the secondary piece that we played with yesterday, which is the emotional side of 49er football. Like, how do you get back on the horse again after what was, let's be real, a Super Bowl they should have won? And you got to now start all the way back from scratch, the anthill mentality. Here's what Brock said when he was asked about how they do that. How do they rekindle the fire?
We've all just been there, dude. Like, we've tasted it. Obviously, the Super Bowl, it's a couple plays away from literally being Super Bowl champions. The year before that, NFC Championship. The year before that, NFC. So, like, we have guys in this locker room that taste it and they want it. And, you know, coming back, you know, it was a heartbreak, man, losing that Super Bowl and the way we did it, the overtime, all that. And how badly we want it for this fan base and this organization, man. Like, we want it. And, but coming back from like OTAs and then obviously now with camp, with having all the guys back, you know, just the way Fred's acting, George, Juice, like these guys that have been in the league for a while, man, they're back ready, like hungry. And I'm going to my year 3, so I'm hungry, but I did the same thing. I walked in, I'm like, how are these guys going to, you know, like seem or feel? And you can feel it, man. They're hungry for it and we're ready to do it for this organization and the fan base.
I'll tell you what, just in my little portion, this sort of 2% view that I have of everything being at practice today, there are some really special people in this organization, man. There really are. You know, and I wonder if that gets enough play. It, to me, when you listen to him talk about this, you start immediately thinking about the team leaders. And I'm telling you, on that field today, like Mustafa, the rookie, got an interception, and Fred Warner looked more excited about it than Mustafa did. Fred Warner chased him all the way down the sideline, all the way to the fence. Even though he was running to an end zone and no one else was chasing him. It's a practice. Nobody's trying to tackle him. Finish the play. But Fred Warner set the tone. George Kittle was out there dapping everybody up after plays. Probably players. He's not even sure what their last name is. But he's over there in their face like they've got some special leaders on this team. Now, that is actually my only concern about what's happening with Trent Williams, because he is also
big time.
He's one of those guys. He might be the guy. I mean, he and Debo are the boombox guys.
Well, for that unit especially.
Yes.
You've got an offensive line group that is, you know, a lot of them are unproven. None of them have the gravitas of a Trent Williams for sure.
So when Kyle says it's okay if Trent misses a few practices, I'm like, that's true. But 3 weeks is not good. And that's part of the leverage that Trent has. I think he knows that.
Absolutely. And that's part of the reason why, you know, Kyle preemptively starts his press availability today and says, you know, Trent's not here, but John's talking to his representatives and, you know, they're having meetings about it. We didn't get a Brandon Ayuk update that included those details. Like, John's in touch with Brandon's people and, you know, they're going to hammer this thing out. We haven't gotten any sense of any meetings or any hammering out of a contract with Brandon Ayuk.
No, John and Brandon did walk to John's office together today. Brandon was there in street clothes and then walked off the field at a certain point and went with John, presumably to John Lynch's office. And then John came back. Brandon did not.
Okay.
I don't know where he went.
Right.
But not back out onto the field. I don't know what they talked about. Maybe the Taylor Swift concert.
Maybe. And, you know, Brandon's not going to practice anyway. He's in street clothes. And even when this whole thing gets resolved, when he starts to no longer hold in, when he becomes a participant, I would imagine there'll be a few days of ramping up and him getting side work on the kiddie field before he gets actually reinserted with the first unit?
I wonder. I mean, you know, he's been working out as much as anybody else has out there. Debo's another one who I should have mentioned. I thought was a total tone setter on offense out there. Someone of his stature on day one of camp going as hard as he was going. Like, that stuff just pops off of the field and gives you, I think, a little bit of a window into why the Niners have been able to build what they've been able to build. These are some really, God, they got some special players on this team. I can't wait for you to go down there tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
I can't wait to get your reaction of just some of those little things that you see with certain players. It was kind of funny. Some of us were joking out there today. It's Jordan Mason season. I don't know, like, for those of you who follow the Niners, Mason every year in camp, every year, oh my God, he looks so good. He looks so good. This is going to be, they're going to give him a little bit of run. Jordan Mason. And then it's like, and then they get to the season and he just goes for 5 weeks and you don't even see him. And then he'll get an opportunity. It'll look great. And people will scream and yell, we need more Jordan Mason. I wonder, this is year three. I wonder if this is the year where they do spell Christian McCaffrey a little bit. And Jordan Mason gets a look. God, he did it again. He looked fantastic out there
right.
today.
And they still have Elijah Mitchell, right?
Still have Elijah Mitchell.
I mean,
yeah.
As far as spelling McCaffrey, it feels like Mitchell would get the first crack at it.
Maybe.
Mason does get some special teams plays, so he's always up on game day anyway. But the idea of spelling Christian McCaffrey is better in theory than it is in actual practice. You know, and not practice as in practice, but in actual practice during games, because when push comes to shove, there is no replacement for McCaffrey.
No.
So if you've got a 2-touchdown lead, or even in the third quarter when you want to give him a series off, I get that. Give me a little Mason, give me a little Mitchell, but you don't want to go long stretches in a close game without McCaffrey.
No, absolutely not. And he's very similar, and we haven't circled back to this yet. I thought one of the more interesting pieces from Herm Edwards today, who joined us a couple of hours ago, and if you missed either of our conversations today, YouTube or the Odyssey app to check them out. Who knows? Maybe they'll get on Grandy's show here in a half hour as well. But Herm Edwards and Aqib Talib, I thought both had some really interesting things to say. Herm said, quote, I told John Lynch, Pearsall is a guy you got to be careful with because he overworks. He had some hamstring issues when he was with us as well. You have to protect him from himself. As Herm was saying that, my mind was also immediately going to Christian McCaffrey. It goes, it's the exact same thing. And the Niners have been very clear about that through the years. Christian wants to play every single play. And Pearsall is apparently cut from the same cloth, with I think has a positive vibe and a negative vibe, because now you got a hamstring injury, and that's not great. But the mentality that he brings, you love. You love a player like that who absolutely does not want to come off the field.
And you have the luxury this year of not having to really rely on Ricky Pearsall going into the year. He's going to be wide receiver 4 to start, assuming that Brandon Ayuk no longer holds in. And I'm assuming that Brandon Ayuk will get to a point where he joins the team and he becomes a part of the first unit offense again. So if Ricky Pearsall is a backup to Juwan, and as Herm Edwards was explaining, Ricky Pearsall is a guy who he can play a lot of positions now. He can play in the slot. He can play out wide now. He's a guy who can, you know, play a lot of different spots. And
no,
so,
just relax.
Exactly.
It's okay.
If he is, if he
it's gonna
is
be good.
Back up, I didn't know when that ended. That's so good. You don't have to worry too much about, you know, bringing him along slowly if Brandon Ayuk is going to be a part of this team.
Yeah.
Which, and to me, that's not a huge if.
It's not a huge if, but there's a when as far as camp is concerned.
Sure.
Who practices first, Pearsall or Ayuk?
Pearsall.
You think?
I do, yeah.
Okay.
I think Ayuk is still probably a couple weeks away. And I think I set the original over-under at August 15th for him to sign.
We did.
But I'm thinking more and more now that he may not sign anything. He may just eventually come back and play on the fifth-year option.
Yeah, he might.
I'm leaning toward that as a more likely outcome.
I mean, there are also the reports out there that they haven't had any substantive talks since May.
Exactly.
Why the hell would they suddenly have them now? What's
the team's motivation now, other than to make Brandon feel better?
I mean, interesting that they hadn't had any substantive talks since May, because it was well after May that Brandon went on Ryan Clark's podcast And then the reports came out that Brandon is driving up to Levi's. And damn it, he's having a meeting. He requested a meeting, and the Niners have granted it to him. And Brandon put it on Instagram, and he drove right up to the gates of Levi Stadium. And he said, "Open the damn gates!" And it was on social media. Apparently, nothing substantive at all.
Did they open the damn gates?
I think they probably did. I think they let him in, but I don't know that anything was said of importance in those meetings, because we've gotten reports since then that absolutely nothing went on in the months of June and July, as far as like actually getting down to numbers and brass tacks and all of that with his agent. You know, so maybe that meeting that Brandon asked for and received, maybe it was more about sort of managing the emotions of all of this. I think both sides are fully aware that Brandon's playing football this year. Doesn't make any sense for him to not play football. You can hear it from all the people around him. You can hear it from TJ Houshmandzadeh. You can hear it from Herm Edwards. These are the people he talks to. This is who he calls. So they're all telling you he's going to play football. So, yeah, what is there to talk about? If I'm the Niners, I'm talking to Brandon about, like, dude, are you okay? Can we, like, we got to find a way to function. We know you're upset. We're going to try to explain to you why we are where we are, but also try to make you feel like we do still love you. We need you. We want you. We think the world of you. All of that. This is just the dollars and cents of it. Our roster is stacked. All those things. I wonder if that's not what the conversation has been about. Like, how do we function within the disagreement that we're having? Like, how do we all still be professionals here?
Yeah, you give me a little bit more money. Just take my 14.1 and just give me 20 for the year. Would that be so hard, John? Give me 1 year and 20 million. Bump me up to 20 and I'll be happy, and I'll go out there and play. And, you know, if you don't, I'll still play, and you know that. But he wants 26. Maybe he wants 28 or 30. I think that they could. Maybe this is something that happens after the Trent Williams restructure maybe. That seems to be coming. Once they get all the way through everything else that they need to figure out, you look at what your cap room is, how much you really are looking forward to carry over cap-wise into next year. Maybe at that point, mid-August, you go to Brandon and you do him a solid and you bump him up from 14 to, you know, 20, 22 or whatever, just to make him happy.
But does it? Does that make him happy?
It makes him happier. I think it makes him happier.
I don't think he's like mad at it. Like, if someone's like, "Yeah, we'd like to give you $6 more million," like, sure, that'd be great.
Well, the alternative is you don't get anything more, because if you've reached a point where the long-term contract discussions have stalled and they're not going to go forward until next March, well, then all of a sudden an extra $6 million feels great.
Right, but if the goal is to get Brandon to not be mad about this and not carry it with him every day throughout the season, I would argue that that's unlikely to do it either. You know what I mean? You might get one of those kind of responses. Well, sure, that's great. Yeah, you can give me $6 million. Thanks.
Thanks.
I'm still mad.
Thanks. Less mad.
Maybe.
Yeah.
A touch. I mean,
$6 million is more than a touch, but you're right.
It's not in comparison to the conversation we've been trying to have.
Right, but
we're trying to have a conversation about $100 million.
But if you get 3 months removed from any real substantive talks, and you get to a point where it doesn't feel like any of that is on the table anymore, then a $6 million, here you go, we're trying to make you feel better. I think it makes you feel better as time goes on.
Yeah, it does make you feel worse.
The further you get away from the disappointment.
Yeah, this is a thing. This is a thing for this whole group. You know, it was a thing for Christian McCaffrey. He skipped OTAs. It's a thing for Trent Williams. He has not shown up. It's a massive thing for Brandon Ayuk. And we have heard other players as well openly speaking about money. Charvarius Ward did it a few weeks ago, talking about, I got to get my bag. You know, I already got one bag. I need another bag. And I just, I rank this as the number one potential issue for the 49ers this year.
Agreed.
Navigating everybody's feelings and everybody's money. It's funny. I don't look at the Niners schedule and worry about anybody else's roster. I mean, sure, there's this silly stuff, not silly, but whatever. There's the stuff you always worry about, a quarterback injury or something like that, which derails any NFL team season, unless Brock Purdy's your third string QB. But that'll kill any season. That's omnipresent. This particular group, what do I worry about? Emotions and money.
I also worry about what I think it was Herm Edwards was telling us about being the hunted. And you're now the hunted because everybody wants a piece of you. You're the 49ers. You've been to three straight conference championship games. You are the Super Bowl runners-up. And when everybody plays you, they're going to get up for you a little bit more. And I know it's a little bit of a cliche, but when you take on the 49ers, a lot of those games are in prime time, and you know it's a big game. You're going to be an underdog in all 17. I do think that makes it tougher on a team when you're going to be the hunted every single time.
I don't disagree with you. I do wonder if it was already like that. Was it not already like that this year, last year?
Somewhat, but I think it's even more like that now because now you've got a quarterback who is no longer Mr. Irrelevant.
Okay.
Now he's next. He's the next guy to get that money. And everybody else, what have we seen this offseason? McCaffrey, I want more. You get it. Trent, I want more. He's going to get it. Ayuk, I want more. You're going to have to wait. I'm going to put you on hold, B.A. But you got Kittle and Debo now on a Netflix doc. And, you know, I think there's a lot more hype and swirl around this team than there was last year.
All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? I'll tell you what it's time for you to do. It is time for you to hear Director of Sports Lucas Alexander unveil two pretty wild and interesting comments made by NFL coaches today around the league. Wait until you hear these.
And I have a third dad, too.
You have a third dad?
What?
What'd you just say to me?
I have a third to add as well.
He said a third dad.
Yeah, you rolled over it really fast. Yeah.
However, this third, maybe dad, I don't know, is in college, not NFL.
Okay.
So football's back, baby.
You have a third.
Man, he just blew your tease. I mean, he could have left it alone and could have added a third.
I was like four words away. I was four words away from
number three
from being done.
Yeah, you were doing great,
too. I was almost out. I was almost about to say 95.7 The Game.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
To Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
I knew immediately when Lucas said, remember when he said he had a third dad?
Yep.
I wondered, does your first dad know that you have a third dad? Anyway.
I met his dad. Great guy.
I met his dad too. I was there.
Turns out the apple does fall far from the tree.
So far that he needed a second and third dad.
Apparently.
But anyway, When he said he had a third dad and wanted to add another coach to the sound clip soiree, I knew immediately what was going on.
You did?
When he said that it was not an NFL coach. Do you know? Have you seen this?
I doubt it.
Director of sports, Lucas Alexander, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, he's got three dads. Welcome to the show.
The third late edition. We might as well just start there.
Let's go.
This landscape of college football is all over the place. A couple new, old, former Pac-12 teams now in the Big Ten. It is Big Ten Media Day. Everyone, all these coaches get to go up to the podium and they get asked questions. But before they get asked questions, they make an opening statement. Here is UCLA first-year head coach Deshaun Foster with his opening statement.
Coach Foster, welcome to the Big Ten. We'll begin with your opening statement.
How you guys doing? I'm happy to be here. I'm glad to be a part of this great conference. Finally putting two great emblems together, UCLA and the Big Ten. We're a school that's won, 123 championships, so this fits us being right in this conference. Football-wise, we're just excited. You know, I'm sure you guys don't know too much about UCLA, but our football program, but we're in LA. It's us and USC.
Come on. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Tom Sula.
Wait for it.
I'm just basically excited, really. That's it. Any questions?
Any questions?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got a few, dude. Are you okay?
Do you not have a PR department at UCLA? Are you familiar with what an opening statement is?
Maybe
go ahead and script something.
It's a great question.
D?
The best part comes well before he loses his train of thought when he's like, so yeah, this is great to put two brands together, the Big Ten and UCLA, and you may not be familiar with us, but we're in LA.
Oh my God.
It's like, dude, you're not Chapman College. Like, what's the matter with you? You're UCLA. You're not on Mars.
This whole thing catch you off guard? Like, to where there's your opening statement. How about just, I don't know, write something down?
It's us and USC.
That's it.
He sounds like he's describing to kids who the aunts and uncles are that they're visiting for the holidays. Okay, here's how they're attached to the family tree. Dude, we're well aware of what UCLA and USC are. Even in the Midwest,
I'm pretty sure
they know.
Right.
Can you imagine if it had been the Pac-12 that had gotten all the Big Ten teams and Ohio State came out and they were like, so, we're Ohio State, we're We're in Ohio.
We're a state school.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for coming.
We're the Buckeyes, and Ohio happens to also be the Buckeye State,
I think is
more than coincidence.
As we were laughing about this before the segment started, I dated myself a little bit by telling these two college football honks here in the other room, these Pac-12 honks that aren't Pac-12 honks anymore because there's no Pac-12. I told him that I covered Deshaun Foster when he was a running back at UCLA. And Grandy goes, geez, how old are you?
Jeez.
Not that old, Grandy. I started down in Southern California in 01, and Deshaun, his last year at UCLA was 02. He was one of the first athletes that I covered really close. He's a nice kid.
Hey Grandy. He was six.
Yeah, how old were you
in his last year?
In 02.
He was six.
I was six.
Yeah, he's 28.
Good math.
I know. Well,
this is not breaking news that Grandy is younger than us. That's not new.
No, but I do always like to reference Grandy's age, and Lucas is a little older, so it's less fun. But just to give some perspective, not only to you and I and how old we are, but also for the audience, because our audience is full of Grandys.
Yes.
28-year-old whippersnappers who probably don't remember Deshaun Foster and the glory days is it UCLA? That's in LA, right?
I've never heard of it.
Me either.
I will ask Lucas Alexander, director of sports, this question to really put you on the spot. If Lincoln Riley had done this, would you have played it on 95.7 The Game, you honk?
100%. Okay. He's already said some other weird things at Big Ten Media Day. Don't need to talk about that.
You had two other coaches, huh?
Yeah, so we go from Big Ten Media Day to a coach who was at Big Ten Media Day last year, head coach of Michigan, now in L.A., going the opposite way of Deshaun Foster. Here is Jim Harbaugh's opening statement. Well, not an opening statement. Here's what he had to say about the open of training camp today.
The way it feels, I mean, feels like New Year's Day, you know, feels like being born. Feels like coming out of the womb, you know, it's like you're in there and it's comfortable and it's safe and now you're out, you're born, the lights are on, it's bright, chaos, people looking at you, people talking at you, and just feels good to, you know, have it happen.
I love that analogy. He could have gone further. You know, there's the amniotic fluid, and then they cut the cord, and you know the doctor spanks you, and next thing you know, now you got to make your way in the world. You know, all of a sudden you're waiting for that first diaper, and you pee on the nurse, and the whole thing. And I think he could have gone further with that.
Feels good to have it happen.
Totally. Yeah, I love that. It feels good to have it happen. Feels great, baby. I mean,
he strikes me as the kind of guy who would tell you that he remembers being born.
I was gonna say the same thing. I'm like, you whack job. You think that you remember that day.
It was great.
It was a great day.
And it was light.
You all remember what I'm talking about, right? You know when you fly right out of there and you're just like, whoa, all these people are looking at me. Stop it, Jim.
Lights are on. Right?
Totally.
Lights are on.
He came out and said, hey, Doc, who's got it better than us? Nobody. He is one of one. No. He's one of a kind.
Oh, my God.
And he was wearing cleats today.
Oh, of course. He wore cleats.
He was wearing cleats when he was born.
With his khakis? They were like black khakis today, actually.
I'm really glad that this happened. I really am.
Yeah.
I'm glad that. Wait, you've got another one?
I don't know
one?
If you can top it, Director of Sports.
You might have gone in the wrong order. It's possible.
I have one last one, but it doesn't have sound attached. It requires me reading, which is never a positive.
Less fun.
This comes from Craig Morgan, who covers the Cardinals for PHNX Sports, and he is just writing what the Arizona Cardinals head coach had to say. This is Jonathan Gannon, and he had to say that Gannon and several members of the Cardinals staff did a deep dive on the concept of momentum, apparently going all the way back to the wars in the 1800s. After all that research, the question was asked, does that momentum exist? Gannon answered, perhaps. I don't have any idea.
Great.
Oh, my God.
Thanks for the deep dive. It's a great deep dive. Perhaps.
Was Gannon the one that Kyle Shanahan was referring to when he spoke about Bill Belichick and said, be careful, he might be coaching in the NFC West next year?
Probably. Arizona changes its head coach every year or every 2 years, traditionally.
Shanahan and McVay aren't going anywhere unless McVay wants to retire again.
Yeah.
And Seattle just made a coaching switch.
So it feels like Arizona, because they always make a coaching switch.
Well, hopefully Gannon will be at Big Ten Media Day next year, and he can give us more little ditties.
An opening statement.
Yeah. Which one did you like best there?
Probably the Harbaugh.
Harbaugh.
Deshaun was just so incredibly awkward.
Yeah.
And honestly, kind of sad and pathetic for such a venerable institution as UCLA. For that to be your first step into a Big Ten foray, that's embarrassing.
I would keep in mind that the goalposts move for all of us in life. Especially, you know, Grandy over here thinks that you and I are 87 years old and ineligible to run for president or whatever. But like we have to start getting used to a new normal. The Lakers head coach got introduced and just started flying with F-bombs all over the place. That's not how we do it. Look at a presidential debate. Go ahead and watch a debate from 20 years ago. Just go back three elections. Go back and look at the way the two candidates would talk to one another.
With respect.
Right. And now it's just like a freaking, you know, now it's just an absolute dynamite bar that has to, like, at all times. And so Deshaun was like, I got it, I'll wing it. Whatevs.
Yeah, you won't wing it.
And quite frankly, it's what UCLA's been doing with their football program for the better part of a generation.
This was the equivalent of that country star singing the national anthem at MLB All-Star. I'm waiting for Deshaun to come out tomorrow and say, you know, I've entered rehab. Speech therapy, maybe, is what he needs.
Wickedly talented.
Totally.
Right?
And the Harbaugh, I prefer the Harbaugh just because it's so good to have you back. Because he is such a wackadoodle.
It's so Jim.
Yes, exactly.
I want to see if you want to talk about two great brands coming together. Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers. Like, this is total quien es mas macho. Like, who's going to win? Because Harbaugh brings attention and winning wherever he goes.
Everywhere.
And the Chargers can't do anything right ever. So which one's going to win out there?
Right.
The logo, which will drag you down, or the Harbaugh, which will rise you up.
It's going to be fascinating to watch.
Polar opposites right there.
Especially considering what he's already done to the roster, which is, you know, kind of what Deion Sanders did at Colorado.
Yeah.
Like, you 30, you can leave.
You're out.
Exactly.
You're out.
You're gone.
Wait, did you just look at me? You're out.
Totally.
Grandy, what are you doing here in 5 minutes?
We're going to hear when the news broke, Kyle Shanahan shared that Trent Williams is holding out.
Okay.
Sandy and Guru were on the air, and actually Bonte, after watching some practice, stopped by. So
yep.
All three of them on together. We'll hear that. We'll get a little bit of both Aqib Talib and Herm Edwards as well.
Beautiful.
End.
All right. That's what's coming up, everybody, because it's time for the best of the game, and it's brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Do you want to do it again tomorrow?
I can't wait. I'll be coming off a Niners practice tomorrow.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
that's
I'm looking forward to it.
Drive safe, brother.
Always.
For Dibs, for Granny, for Lucas, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. It's all you got.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.